Hello and welcome to another Texans Talk podcast. I'm your host for the week, Anthony Wood, and with me today is host of SB Nation Radio, Jake Asman. Jake, how are you doing?
My favorite Englishman, Anthony. I'm doing fantastic. Thanks for having me on the program.
Absolutely. Where else do we get started but the Texans' consecutive loss last night, obviously against the Rams, 22-10. What was your thought on their performance?
I don't really care for it at all. I don't think it means anything. You know, nobody of importance really played in the game. I mean, none of the starters played. I mean, you had Joe Webb playing quarterback. That's all you need to know. And unfortunately, he gets hurt in this game. And, you know, I wish Joe Webb all the best. But, you know, this is not, you know, anything. You don't take any stock away from any preseason game, but let alone the fourth preseason game where the majority of the team doesn't play. And most of the guys that were out there, they're going to be out of work. And, you know, probably by the time your listeners hear this, a lot of those guys who played in that fourth game last night are going to be out of a job. So I don't really have any takeaways from it other than, hey, the preseason's over. Thank goodness. Now let's get ready for the start of the regular season next Thursday. And then obviously Texans fans getting set for Monday night in New Orleans.
Absolutely. I must admit, though, one positive that came out yesterday for me was the three Texans captains were Floyd Allen, Javier Edwards, and Cullen Gillespie, all Houston high school natives. So that I thought that was a nice touch by O'Brien, I must admit.
Yeah, absolutely. That was a cool moment. I actually had an opportunity to, you know, to interview Javier Edwards before the NFL draft, and he goes undrafted, but then he signs with the Texans. So really cool story with him. I don't think he's going to make the team most likely, but you know, that's a cool moment to get those guys, you know, to be team captains in Houston at an NFL game. You know, out there, as you said, they played high school ball here. So that was a cool moment for sure.
Absolutely. So how much do you, I mean, all of that performance last night, like you mentioned, the result doesn't really matter. It's more about the performances of the guys that were probably on the bubble. So, I mean, who do you think out of the players yesterday, are there any guys that stood out to you as made the best cause for them to perhaps remain on the roster?
Well, I'm just curious kind of what they do with the rushing situation at running back, right? You had Josh Ferguson play last night, Caron Higdon played, Damari Crockett played, and, you know, I watched that game last night, and, you know, I didn't really see anything that was like, wow, like, this is, you know, these are the guys that are going to be the running back, you know, in back of Duke Johnson with Lamar Miller out for the season. So I think just one interesting storyline to watch the next few days is kind of what the Texans do on the waiver wire when, you know, various players become available. Will the Texans be active in trying to address, you know, the running back situation? Philadelphia has a lot of depth on their running back depth chart, so maybe someone from that roster could be cut. I could see a scenario where the Jets cut one or two of their running backs. They're deep at that position. So I think just kind of looking at what the Texans do for running back depth is an intriguing storyline. And, you know, just how many tight ends they end up keeping is the other thing, right? We've seen Jordan Thomas play at times really well last year, but, you know, he was banged up. So he missed some time in the preseason, and he looked rusty last night. Jarrell Adams has had a really good preseason. Is it enough to make the team? Obviously, you know, Kahale Waring is still in concussion protocol, so how does that impact the amount of tight ends they end up taking? That's certainly one thing to watch. And then, you know, just how many receivers they end up keeping. Does Vincent Smith make the team for the second year in a row? Can Steven Mitchell challenge him? Tyron Johnson has flashed at times. So just kind of looking at like the back end of the depth chart at the running back spot and the receiver spot, that's interesting to me, including, of course, the tight end position. But for the most part, the team is the team. And, you know, now we kind of just wait to find out, is there going to be some sort of resolution to this Clowney situation that seems to be ongoing every day?
Certainly. Well, let's start off, obviously, with that running back situation. You mentioned Duke Johnson, obviously, will be the starter of the season with Lamar Miller out. Tywan Jones, I know Bill O'Brien is quite keen on because of his special teams ability. So who do you think is going to make that make up that third running back spot at this moment in time, at least before we see all the releases from other teams?
You know, it's interesting. I'm not sure. I've been trying to figure it out. I have liked what I've seen from Caron Higdon, but I've also liked what I've seen from Crockett. I think both guys, you know, are valuable pieces. I think it just comes down to, you know, which guy do they think maybe could do more? Which guy could be better on special teams? You know, you look at, you know, Crockett and, you know, to me, he's flashed at times. He has. Is he enough to make the team, though? I don't know. I mean, does Josh Ferguson play a part in this in some capacity? Maybe. Buddy Howell last year made the team as well. But I don't think they look at him as a, you know, an every down running back. I like Higdon a lot at Michigan a year ago. So maybe it's because I saw him a lot more in college. I'm more familiar with him. But I couldn't give you a straight answer because I just think it comes down to, obviously, who else is available on the waiver wire, because if they can upgrade at that position, they will. and you know, just kind of going through, you know, what each player could do in regards to pass protection, what each player could do in regards to being an asset on special teams. It's a complicated situation, and I wouldn't be surprised if the Texans, you know, end up adding a running back, you know, through the waiver wire the next few days.
Certainly. You mentioned the Jets and the Eagles, obviously, as teams to look out for. I know the Bills as well could be another team to have a look out for. Perhaps, I mean, I've heard people mentioning, does this mean that perhaps he'll look at Alfred Blue from the Jags if he was to get cut again? Obviously, former Texan. Personally, I hope not, but you never know. It's Bill O'Brien. We can't really predict what he ends up deciding. So another position that you obviously mentioned there, tight end, it's another one where we don't really know what's going to happen. There are quite a few guys who have made a good case for them to have a roster spot. What's your sort of prediction for that position? How many guys do you think they're going to end up keeping there? And do you have any idea as to who they might?
I think they're good because he was a great. I look at the tight end spot and what they have done, you know, in recent years. And this is a Texans team that's used a lot of draft capital on the tight end position. You know, there's no doubt about that. I think Thomas makes the team. I think Akins makes the team. And I think they really like Darren Fells and Jarrell Adams. And with Kahale Waring in concussion protocol and plus the issues the Texans have on the offensive line, I wouldn't be shocked if they end up keeping four tight ends. And then, you know, maybe there's a decision to be made with Kahale Waring whenever he does get better and he could go out there. I think for right now they're going to keep four tight ends, though. And I'll tell you what, if Fells or Adams don't make the team, they're going to get picked up by another NFL team. I mean, they've shown signs that they could be solid players in this league. I mean, Darren Fells has a history playing in this league. Jarrell Adams is somebody that I've liked a lot from what we've seen from him in the preseason. So I wouldn't be surprised, because of the injury to Waring, because of the concerns on the offensive line, if they end up keeping four tight ends. Now, Joe Webb getting hurt means they probably are only going to keep two quarterbacks, so maybe that creates a roster spot to carry that fourth tight end. That's kind of how I look at it if the Texans are going through this roster.
And also, you mentioned the situation with Waring there, the concussion protocol he's been in for quite some time now, and he's been injured on and off throughout preseason. With his limited experience in his background in football, do you think perhaps the Texans use this as a year to put him on IR, get him fully healthy, and then coach him and train him a bit more and get him ready more for next year?
Certainly think it's a possibility. Yeah, he hasn't played really all summer. You know, he got hurt at the beginning of training camp, and you know, he's been banged up and hasn't really been out there. You know, we haven't seen him since OTA in June, so I wouldn't be surprised if they do that. I mean, one thing you could say about the Texans at the tight end spot is they have depth, right? I mean, if you're going to carry four tight ends, you don't have, like, an elite tight end. You know, Travis Kelce isn't on this team, but you have, you know, a bunch of capable guys and an offense that is going to be, you know, really led by Deshaun Watson going to his wide receivers on the outside and then maybe QT in the slot and whatnot. So I think there's a chance they keep four tight ends, and if that's the case, maybe they do kind of use this year as a redshirt year for Kahale Waring.
Certainly, and you mentioned obviously the wide receiver situation there. Behind obviously QT, Carter, Hopkins and Fuller, it's a bit of a question mark at this point in time. Obviously they liked Stephen Mitchell last year and he's done some good things this preseason. Same for Vincent Smith, he's had a bit of an up and down camp. And then obviously Tyron Johnson's had a decent camp. Johnny Dixon looked decent yesterday. I mean, what's your guess that they end up doing at that position at this point in time?
It's so tough. I mean, DeAndre Carter to me 100% will make the team. I think you look at Vincent Smith, I think they like him. I think they look at him as an improvement player. I believe he makes the team. The question is just going to be about who they think has done enough on special teams to have a role on the outside. Bill O'Brien said today that essentially they have their 1-4 wide receiver, and they're basically looking for, depending on how many they keep, wide receiver 5, 6, and 7. It's tough to say. I think Tyron Johnson has done a lot this summer to flash. Is it enough to make the NFL team? I'm not quite sure, but it's going to be a fascinating conversation they're going to have at that position.
It was funny, one of the guys they only brought in about a week or two ago, Chan Hansen, wide receiver, I didn't expect to see much of him at all, but to be perfectly honest, out of all the guys, the depth guys I've seen playing as a returner, he's the one that's for me at least, surprisingly flashed the most. I mean, do you think he has any chance of making this squad, or do you think at the end of the day he's going to be pushing for either a practice squad spot or a spot somewhere else?
I don't think he's going to make this team, but he has played well. And it's funny, I'm originally from New York, so Chad Hansen was a Jet draft pick, and he really never turned into anything his first few years in New York. It was another bad pick by former Jets GM Mike Hackett. But Chad Hansen has talent. A lot of people liked him coming out of Cal. I mean, the guy was a fourth-round pick, but it never really worked for him in New York, and he's played well this summer. Now, you know, it is against backups, of course, but you know, he's got an opportunity to play. If he doesn't make the Texans, I wouldn't be surprised if he has an opportunity to sign with another team.
Absolutely, and obviously you mentioned one of the slightly bigger topics, I guess you could say, in Jadeveon Clowney. What do you know of the situation there at this point in time? Obviously, it's been back and forth a lot the last few days. What do you think is the current situation surrounding Clowney?
It just sounds like we're just waiting for, you know, some sort of trade to be finalized. Clowney to sign that tender, and he's gone. I mean, everything I've heard, everyone I've talked to, and just reading the body language, you know, forget just the quotes from Bill O'Brien, you know, when he's asked about Clowney. It just seems like we've reached a point here where that relationship between Clowney and the team is just not salvageable. It just seems like we're headed towards a trade. And I'll tell you what, if the reports are true, that the Texans would trade Clowney and have to give up their own first-round pick to the Dolphins to get Laremy Tunsil, if that would be the deal, that would be organizational malpractice if the Texans had to do that. I mean, I don't even want to think about that as being a real thing. But credible people are reporting that's been discussed. And if that happens, I mean, Anthony, I'm telling you right now, that would be an absolute disaster of a deal for the Houston Texans.
And what surprises me about that deal is there's been multiple reports about the Dolphins. Supposedly, the locker room has said that there's going to be somewhat of a revolt if they end up dealing Tunsil. I mean, do you think this is the kind of trade, if it ends up happening, like you said, do you think this is the kind of thing that's going to sort of blow up both ends of the scale?
Well, you know what's funny? You look at Tunsil, and, you know, he's a good player. You know, he's not an elite left tackle at this point, though. Pro Football Focus has him graded as, like, kind of middle of the pack. So, you know, people's opinions vary on just how good Tunsil is as a player. If I'm the Dolphins, though, I don't really care about the players revolting. This is a team that's not going to be very good regardless if they make a Tunsil trade for Clowney or they just keep Tunsil and try and go out there and win games. I mean, they're starting Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's going to have a couple good games. Then he's going to stink. We're going to see Josh Rosen, and Rosen will get an opportunity to play well. Then, hey, maybe he's their guy moving forward. If he stinks and they continue to lose games, this is going to be a team that's going to be picking in the top five in the NFL draft in all likelihood and go out there and try and find, you know, their next franchise quarterback. So, you know, I don't know if they should really care about the players possibly revolting. Players want to get paid, and if you want to get paid, you got to shut up and go out there and play. So I don't think that's a real factor in all this. I do think if the Texans are dumb enough to offer a first-round pick and Clowney, how could you not take that if you're the Dolphins? They already have 14 picks. Now you're telling me they can get an extra first-round pick to try and go get that franchise quarterback with their own pick when they're a bad team this season, plus the Clowney pick. Texans could still be an 8-8 football team. All of a sudden, that pick at, you know, 15, 16, 17, that pick could potentially be the next left tackle you find. So, I mean, if the Texans offer that deal, and I'm Chris Greer, the Dolphins GM, I mean, I will personally go out of my way to drive Laremy Tunsil to the airport myself to make that deal.
Do you think the Texans, and obviously it'd be specifically O'Brien in this regard because he's sort of de facto GM, do you think perhaps they're thinking of it too much in the short term rather than really looking at the long-term picture here of what they could achieve with that first-round pick and then with Clowney in the long run or whoever they could get in trade for him?
Well, this is what I've always said. Barring trading Clowney for offensive line help, so in this case it'd be Tunsil. Barring trading him for offensive line help, under no scenario are you making your football team better in 2019 by trading Clowney. You can't say to your fan base, we're trying to win, especially with Andrew Luck going down. And now all of a sudden, hey, the Texans won 11 games last year. People forget that. So off schedule and all, I get it. But hey, all of a sudden, we're going for it. Then you can't trade Jadeveon Clowney. It makes no sense. Now, if you trade Clowney and you give up your first-round pick to get Laremy Tunsil, who's a solid tackle, but he's not an elite tackle, okay, you could argue your team is better in 2019, but I think it's organizational malpractice to have to give away a premium defensive star like Clowney and your first-round pick to get a guy that's decent on your offensive line. It just goes back to what the Texans failed to do this offseason, which was improve that O-line that was a glaring weakness. You know, they sat on their heels at the draft. They allowed Andre Dillard to go a pick before they made that selection to the Philadelphia Eagles. They didn't do anything in free agency with all this cap space. They got outspent by other teams looking for tackles, and now they put themselves in a situation where they got to desperately possibly overpay and give up a premium first-round talent in Jadeveon Clowney and a first-round pick. It should be the other way around. It should be the Texans trading Clowney for at least a first-round pick, not Clowney and give up your own first-round pick. So if that deal ends up happening, that would just be mind-boggling.
To me. I'm certainly getting the vibe from you that this is not something you're overly impressed with, to say the very least.
Well, What gave you that indication?
So obviously you mentioned Andrew Luck's retirement there last weekend, obviously during the Texans Cowboys loss, which I don't even want to talk about at this point in time. But how do you think that retirement, which was somewhat a shock to a lot of people, helps the Texans stack up against their division rivals at this point in time?
There's no doubt it makes the AFC South way more open than it was a week ago. No doubt about it. The thing with Andrew Luck retiring, though, is, yeah, you know, the Colts are not going to be as good, but I still think people are underestimating the type of football team the Indianapolis Colts are.
Agreed.
I don't think Jacoby Brissett is anywhere close to Andrew Luck, but I'll tell you what, not many people are. Andrew Luck's that good, but Brissett, to me, gets a bad rap. I think he's a solid backup. I think he's a capable starting quarterback in this league. You know, that Indianapolis Colts team is well-coached. Frank Wright is a quarterback guru. You look at that offensive line, which, ironically enough, is finally really good as Luck walks away. They protected him last year. That wasn't it. And you look at T.Y. Hilton staying there. You have the two tight ends and Ebron and Doyle. That's a good football team. You know, the Colts are not going to just be a team that's going to go out there now and win three games. I think they could be competitive. I think there's a chance they could still be at least 8-8, maybe 9-7. I don't think it's, you know, a cakewalk that they're just going to be bad. So anyone just going, oh, wow, that's two wins on the schedule now in the AFC South, I don't look at it that way. I think obviously it means the division is wide open. Despite the issues the Texans have clearly had this summer, they're still in the mix because they have Deshaun Watson, because they have J.J. Watt and DeAndre Hopkins. They have a chance. But I also think it means, hey, you know, don't sleep on the Jaguars now. If they can get it right with Nick Foles and he could be competent, that defense should be really good in Jacksonville, right? They should be better on offense if Leonard Fournette can keep his head on straight. You know, they got D.D. Westbrook, who they're going to use a lot in that offense. I think Jacksonville's going to be a good football team. I think, obviously, Tennessee, you know, no one loves Mariota as a quarterback, but, you know, this is a Tennessee Titans team that has gone 9-7 the last 3 years, and, you know, they were one win away at home last year over the Colts on Sunday Night Football from making the playoffs. So I think the division is just wide open. I don't think now there's a clear favorite on who's going to win that AFC South.
Certainly, I think it's definitely something to really watch out closely for this year. It's going to be one of the most tough divisions to really call out ahead of time. And obviously, you mentioned, obviously we talked about Andrew Luck, we talked about Joe Webb, Texas quarterback. Just to go back to that Texas QB situation, they need a third QB, or at least that seems to be the way that we're heading at this point in time. O'Brien said this morning that they have talked about possibly bringing in someone else. Do you see them maybe keeping Jordan Time, who's their third quarterback, or perhaps do you see them bringing in someone that the Colts have looked at recently in Brandon Weeden, obviously former Texans QB, or someone completely different?
You don't think they're going to bring in a former Texans QB Brock Osweiler to do the
I have my doubts. They might do it just to spite him a little bit.
I think it's interesting. I think they're going to only carry two quarterbacks, though, and they'll add somebody if they have to. I think because of the unique situation with the amount of tight ends they have and possibly the amount of running backs they have, I think they're not going to add another quarterback. They think McCarron's going to be ready to go for week one. Joe Webb was only on this football team because of his special teams ability. That's how they would get away with being able to, you know, name him a third quarterback. But, I mean, the reality is Joe Webb was an important part of their special teams operation, and that's how they could kind of cheat their roster and get away with carrying a third quarterback, if you will. I think they're going to carry two guys and just hope McCarron's healthy. He says he's going to be ready to go for week one. He told Bill O'Brien that he could go out there and play in the preseason, and the Texans have kept them out of precaution. So I think they're going to go with just two quarterbacks, Watson and A.J. McCarron, and then if someone goes down, they'll figure it out from there.
I think for me, the guys who are really going to benefit most from this somewhat extra roster spot they've got now is possibly someone like Colin Gillespie. He hasn't shown a huge amount in preseason, but he's very good on special teams. Perhaps Buddy Howell, again, running back we mentioned. He hasn't shown a lot in terms of in the run game because they haven't used him a lot, but he's a good special teams player, and there are a couple other players that we could mention there. I think they're the ones that eventually are going to somewhat benefit from this extra roster spot for the time being, at least, depending on what they end up doing with Joe Webb. But then just to close out, I mean, let's go ahead and have a quick look at week one. It's getting closer and closer. What do you predict for their trip to New Orleans at this point in time?
I think it's going to be a really tough game. You know, I really do. I mean, I'm not going to say they can't go in there and win, but I think not having Clowney and his uncertainty, you know, that's the type of game you'd really want them, right? You're facing a Saints team that, what do they do well? Well, they have a Hall of Fame quarterback who's deadly accurate, so how do you stop that? Well, you got a pass rush. Clowney probably won't be there, and if he is there, what type of shape is he going to be in? He's not going to be the same Clowney that we're accustomed to seeing. You also factor in, what do the Saints do well? Well, they run the football really well. Clowney would be really helpful for that. He's an elite run stuffer. So the uncertainty with Clowney, the fact that the Saints are at home. I mean, you look at the line for this game. The Texans were an 11-5 football team last year. They're a 7-point dog going into New Orleans. I think this is a close game. I think Deshaun Watson's capable of winning you any game he plays. He's that special of a player. But I think the Saints at home, opening night, tough place to play. That's a tough game for the Texans to win. And all right, if they can't win that game, listen, that's a tough game for any team to win on the road at New Orleans. But that just emphasizes how important it is when the Texans return home in week two against the Jacksonville Jaguars, they got to win that game. The Texans cannot afford to start 0-2, 0-3 like they did last year. I understand they won 9 in a row after that 0-3 start, but I'm not banking on that happening again with this schedule. So they got to find a way to at least be 1-1 through the first two. And then, hey, week three is a challenge as well. Got to go to L.A. to take on a good Chargers team. So it's a tough schedule, and that's the biggest difference to me between last year's team and this year's team. This year's team might be better, but the record might just because of the opponents they're playing.
Absolutely, and I must admit, I've said this quite a few times throughout the pro season, that first 7 weeks really worries me. The QBs they've got to go up against are all good QBs. The teams, the defenses are pretty much all good defenses. It really does concern me, but let's try and stay positive here. Perhaps if they do end up bringing in Laremy Tunsil, maybe he can give Deshaun Watson the extra space he needs to really ball out. Maybe that ends up being the turning point. Who knows? I'm just trying to remain a little bit optimistic here. One of the Texans I know, just to sort of close out here, one of the Texans that I'm most looking forward to seeing this year, and I'm sure a lot of people are, is obviously JJ Watt. He's coming back from a fully healthy offseason. He's got a full season behind him. He had 16 sacks last year. How much? Let's take a sort of ballpark guess here. How many sacks do you think we can expect from JJ this year?
I think Watt, as long as he's healthy, he's going to go out there and be one of the best defensive players in the league again. I mean, what he did last year was special. 16.5 sacks coming off the injuries he suffered. You mentioned it. You know, just the healthy offseason for the first time in years. The fact that he feels good, right? They've managed his reps really well. He's fresh. He feels like he could still play at an elite level for a number of years. I think as long as J.J. Watt's healthy, he's a legitimate candidate to be Defensive Player of the Year every year he plays. He's that special of a talent. The guy's going to be a first-ballot Hall of Famer when it's all said and done. And, you know, Texans fans should enjoy watching one of the best defensive players to ever do it in his prime right now, going at it and getting after it.
Absolutely. And then sticking with JJ, he interviewed a few of his fellow defensive linemen yesterday on the sidelines during the second half of that game. They called themselves the Lunch Pail Crew, supposedly because they work, so they get there and they just work from the second they get there. They stated that supposedly they're going to be releasing an unnamed album soon. So here's my question to close out. What do you think they should call that album?
Oh, my goodness. I couldn't even tell you. Something about, I mean, what's like a punny thing you could say about a defensive lineman or something like that, you know? Like, you got to come up with something like, oh, like, you know, like quarterback chasers or something corny like that about, you know, something that defensive lineman does or something. I'm not the right guy to ask that question. There are way more creative people than me, but I'm sure there's something there that they could come up with that would actually be pretty funny.
Absolutely. I think it's safe to say we're all looking forward to the release of said album. Jake, it's been an absolute pleasure to speak to you once again. Where can our listeners find you on social media?
Every single day on social media at Jake Asman. That's Jake Asman. And I'm on the radio every day on SB Nation Radio from 3 to 7 Central Time. It's a national show, but obviously since we are based here in Houston, we do talk plenty of Texans and about the other Houston sports stories as they come up. So it's been a lot of fun so far. I work with Cody Suits, who I know is a big in Texans media, covers the team for 97.5 and for sportsmap.com. So it's a fun show. We've enjoyed it, and you know, we certainly will be covering this Clowney story as it continues to unfold.
Absolutely. We'll have to listen in very closely to you over the coming days, see what ends up happening there. Jake, thank you very much. It's been an absolute pleasure to speak to you. I've been your host, Anthony Wood. Follow me on Twitter at ARWoodNFL. And of course, keep up to date with everything Texans at the Texans Wire of USA Today. Thank you very much for listening.